Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91 and on Blue Sky at AdamKing91.bsky.social. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. And go and find us, please. YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are watching. Go and find us everywhere and subscribe. Always appreciate it. 14 games. Way too many. A lot to talk about. Injuries. I'm going to try and bang through these as quick as possible, but I don't really want to overlook anything either. So settle in. Could be a little bit longer than normal, but of course, no games tomorrow. So we maybe need a bit more of a fix. First game, Houston at Charlotte. Houston get the win here, 114-101. Not too surprising. Let's start with the Houston side of things. Now, if I'd known Dylan Brooks was going to be a scratch, I would have endorsed Amen Thompson as a starter. I did say he is someone to consider benching. And then, of course, after we finished recording, Dylan Brooks was ruled out. So I went and activated Amen Thompson in most of my teams, because with one guy out, whether it's Thompson, whether it's Van Fleet, whether it's Green, whether it's Brooks, Van Fleet or Green, or Smith, to be honest, Thompson plays 35 plus minutes. We've seen it. We know we know what he looks like, and he rewarded anyone who was able to get him in there. 19 and 11, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 1 steal. So this is why we hold him. I know it's hard sometimes, but this is why we hold him. Van Fleet bounced back after his poor performance the night before, 20 points with 6 assists. Jabari Smith, 21 and 11, continues to play well without Tari Eason. This is why I'm a little bit worried about Tari Eason. I still would hold. Cam Whitmore, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. He's very good when he gets minutes, just doesn't usually get the minutes. So no Dylan Brooks here obviously helped. No, we're not adding Cam Whitmore because Dylan Brooks was only out with an illness. So, yeah, not much to do there. Charlotte, they had LaMelo Ball back. They had Mark Williams back. LaMelo was pretty good, 23 and 8. No steals, no free throws. Hit 5 threes and actually shot relatively well from the field. So not his best game, but certainly good to have him back out there on the floor. Mark Williams had 12 and 9 with a steal. He's looking good. He must roster. No idea how much they're going to force him into minutes this season. Is he going to get to 30? I'm not sure. I hope so. But it is trending in the right direction. So keep rolling with him. Cody Martin talked sort of about him without Brandon Miller. He does just enough. He only had 6 points, but 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Very back end, but there is some appeal there. Josh Green, no thank you. Miles Bridges, a better night offensively, 24 points with 8 rebounds. Diabate sort of got hot here, 14 points in 16 minutes, played over Nick Richards. But no, I'm not adding either of those two unless Mark Williams is out, which he isn't, unless they're playing back-to-backs. San Antonio at Philadelphia. Close one here. Philly get the win, 111-106. Let's start with the Spurs. Another very impressive Wemby performance. They went with the same starting lineup. And, of course, Harrison Barnes had a big fat donut, 0 points. Why is he starting? I don't know. But as long as he is starting, I think he keeps Julian Champagne out of 12-team discussions. Champagne was good here, 15 points, 8 rebounds in 29 minutes. I'd need to see a trend of him playing 26 to 28 minutes and Harrison Barnes playing 20 before I'd want to go and grab him. Everyone else, all the other starters were decent enough here. Not Vassell's best night, but still a pretty clear hold. Steph Castle also had 17 points off the bench, but efficient shooting, only 13 minutes. We don't need to overreact to this performance. And for Philly, Joel Embiid played but got ejected. So that's what you want from the guy you've been waiting to come back and been holding in your IR spot. You want him to get ejected. 9 points, 2 steals per minute. Pretty good. But, yeah, please don't get ejected, Joel Embiid. Unless, well, I don't care. I don't have you on any teams. But for those that do, Kelly Oubre, I talked about him. He probably is still a must-roster player. But was a bench candidate today. And yeah, this is why, even without Joel Embiid, he didn't thrive. They lent into Gershon Yabusele. Andre Drummond only played 7 minutes before leaving with a toe injury. So they just had to. They had really no other options. Sorry, I'm reading comments. Yeah, they had no other option. So Embiid will be back for the next game, so we don't need to grab Yabusele here. If Embiid gets injured again or they have back-to-backs, I haven't checked the schedule, and Drummond misses time, then Yabusele would be the guy we want to look at there. Boston at Orlando. Impressive win for Orlando here. Hugely undermanned against a full strength, except for Jason Tatum, Celtics team. Magic get the win, 108-104 for Boston without Tatum. He was a late scratch. This was an illness, so nothing to worry about. Al Horford moved into the starting lineup. Starters were all fairly good here. Even Drew Holiday had 16 points, 3 steals, 2 blocks, but his best overall game in quite a while. I think we can roster him if you want, but this is probably on the high end of what we should expect from him moving forward. Peyton Pritchard, quiet night for him, but he's been much better than this, so he'll be fine for Orlando. Tristan Da Silva, he's sort of slowly ramping up. I still don't think I'd be adding him, but the minutes are there. There's no word on Paolo yet. He will return at some point in the next, would I say before the end of the year? Maybe, if not early in the new year. Trevellyn Queen moved into the starting lineup and Wendell Carter went to the bench. So this is interesting, because we've had a lot of discussion the last week about who will start at center once the Magic are full strength. Will it be Goga or will it be Wendell? This tells me it might be Goga if they're happy to move Wendell to the bench in this situation. It's interesting. It doesn't impact Goga now because we're rostering him, but thinking long-term, maybe he does hold on to this starting role. But we'll see. I'm not adding Queen. He had 17 points, 3 assists, 3 steals, a block. It's pretty good. But I think just with the way this Magic team is set up at the moment, they're just going to go with matchups and who has the hot hand. Cole Anthony, obviously, in that last game went off and he had 10 points, 5 assists here in 17 minutes. So it's very fluctuating. Jonathan Isaac only played 14 minutes. Anthony Black, 23. So I think Goga, I think Suggs, and maybe Wendell are probably the three that I'd be holding everywhere. And then I'd Flyers streaming, have a look at Da Silva, have a look at Cole Anthony, Anthony Black, Trevellyn Queen. There's a few names here. So hard to get a read on any consistency. Utah at Cleveland. Another win for Cleveland. They head into Christmas with the best record in the East, 26-4. So fantastic start for them to the season. Let's go with Utah, though. Svi Mykhailiuk, he started again over Jordan Clarkson. He had 11 points. I'm not interested in him. Clarkson came off the bench, had 27 points. He's the guy that we want if he's available. Sexton had another good game, 24 points, 5 assists. So without Keontae George, both of those guys are must-roster players. Walker Kessler, the minutes are back up here, 38, 9 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks. So pretty much exactly what you expect from Walker Kessler. The 1 of 6 from the line is obviously really bad, but shouldn't be altogether surprising given what we know about his free throw shooting. Michael Potter also started here, 11, 7, and 2 with a steal and a block. He's interesting. I would keep an eye on him if John Collins misses more time with his hip injury. Potter might be someone to look at least in deeper leagues, maybe not 12s. And for Cleveland, yeah, not a lot to talk about. There never is. Sam Merrill had 20 points. He moved into the starting lineup with 6 threes. He can do this. We've seen him. He's a little bit like an AJ Green or a Sam Hauser. If you need threes and there's any inkling that he's going to play meaningful minutes, he is someone to have a look at. All right, I do see all these questions. I will get to them. I just need to get through the games first or we'll be here all night. Let's move on to the next game because Cleveland are boring. Toronto at New York. RJ Barrett played in this one through his illness and had a pretty good night, 23, 6, and 6. 8 of 11 from the line is for Barrett is not too bad. Scotty Barnes was much better in this one offensively as well, 24 points, 8 assists. Of course, I benched him tonight. I will go through, actually, I said I would. I'll go through some of my lineups at the end of the show and just have a look at who I benched. I was tossing up between players and have a look at where I thrived and where I didn't thrive. Jonathan Mobo started. We don't need Jonathan Mobo on our roster at all. Ochai Agbaji is still very, very borderline. I'm not that interested. I'd rather take Jacoby Walter, take a flyer on him. He had 16 points. Doesn't do much else. He had 2 blocks, but he did shoot 80% from the field and the line to get there. So, yeah, not really something we can expect moving forward. Kelly Olynyk, who played 25 minutes last night, played 18 here. So, it's encouraging. Let's say encouraging. The production wasn't fantastic. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. We've said all along, if he gets 22, 24 minutes, he's probably worth a look. So hard to get a read. This was the second night of a back-to-back. So I would like to just see some more games before grabbing him. Although we don't know how long Poeltl's out. He could be back next game. We just don't know. For New York, as per usual, leaning quite heavily on their starters. Cat dominated again. OG Anunoby, another player that I benched tonight because he had been shooting the ball so poorly and I needed field goal percentage. He goes 13 of 15 from the field. Didn't really get any defensive stats tonight. He got a steal, so I'm going to take that as a win for somehow. I don't know why. 13 of 15, he's not going to do this every night, but amazing if you had him in your lineup. Miles McBride played well off the bench, 25 minutes. I still don't think he's someone we need to hold unless you can sort of treat him as a stash. Same with Precious Achiuwa and Campaign. Look, he got hot here over, there was a period where he just couldn't miss basically. 19 points in 15 minutes. We are not adding Campaign. All right, Brooklyn at Miami. Miami 110 to Brooklyn 95. For Brooklyn, Cam Johnson steady, 19 points, a steal, 3 rebounds. Continues to play very well. Noah Clowney, talked about him with Finney Smith out being someone to consider tonight. He had 19 points in his 29 minutes. Claxton, 10 rebounds and 2 blocks. He's good. 1 of 7 from the field for 6 points. He's been rough, man. I just hope at some point we get a Dayron Sharpe. I don't know why it would happen. Claxton would need to go down, but yeah, Claxton's not doing anything for me at the moment. Simmons had 4 points only, but he had 9 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal. So the production, not where it has been the last few games, but he still played 30 minutes. So that is enough for him to be rostered everywhere. And it was Keon Johnson's turn to play well in this one. 15 points, 3 steals, 5 rebounds. But it could be Jalen Wilson in the next one. It could be Shake Milton in the next one. So I'm not really buying into this at all. And over to Miami, the sad news. And I'll start with Drew Smith. I talked about him as someone that I had added in two or three leagues. I was starting him tonight, which I did. He came off the bench with, I wasn't worried about that at all. I still thought he'd get to 30 minutes. And 7 minutes into the game, he suffered what looks like an Achilles injury. All the mechanics, if you watch the replay, which is easy to find if you go onto Twitter, you can almost see it pop. There's almost a point at which he's pushing off his foot, and it looks like that's where the angle of his, I guess, heel to leg should stop, and then it pops and goes a little further, and he just crumples. And you could sort of, I mean, he's a player who suffered a significant injury before. He's torn his ACL, so you could tell by the look on his face. I think he knows. I think we all know what this is. So I would 99% guarantee you can move on from Drew Smith, sadly. And with him out of the equation, it probably gives a bump to Jaime Jaquez, Nikola Jovic, Pelé Larsen to a lesser degree. So, I don't know, Duncan Robinson probably sees an extra minute or two. I don't think there's any one player here. I think it'll just be a few minutes for everyone. And Terry Rozier was out in this one as well, so we need to remember that. As for the players that played and stayed healthy, Hayward Highsmith, no. Jaime Jaquez, no. Duncan Robinson, threes. Jovic was good in this one, but he's very inconsistent. If you wanted to take a flyer on one of these guys with Drew Smith done for the year, it probably would be Jovic for me. Khalil Ware, 17 minutes, 9 and 7 with two steals and a block. I wish he would just play 20 minutes. There's no point at the moment, but I still really like his overall game. All right, are we halfway? Maybe we are. Minnesota at Atlanta. Yeah, bad loss for Minnesota. This one was pretty close. I think it was 1 point at three-quarter time or two or something. Atlanta went on a massive run down the stretch, and Minnesota fall. Rudy Gobert, this stunk. He's been all right this season, so we'll forgive him here. Mike Conley was better, 11 and 6 with three steals in 27 minutes, so still a soft hold, I think. And DiVincenzo and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, neither of them were any better. So that's working in his favour at the moment. They're not really coming for his minutes. Julius Randle, the numbers are pretty good here, 19, 13 and 7, but he had 7 turnovers and shot 6 of 15 from the field. So, yeah, there's always a sort of an underlying bad story when it comes to Randle. McDaniels, I thought he might have a good game here. He did not. 6 and 2. We don't need to be rostering him at all. And Anthony Edwards, yeah, much like Randle, 16, 6 and 4 with two steals is good, but 7 of 20 from the field. Yeah, he's a long way from being the guy that people think he is, I think. And over to Atlanta. I'm just going to start with Dyson. 10 points. 10 points sucks. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 8 steals, 2 blocks, career high, 8 steals. Not much more to say. I mean, I guess people had viewed him as a bit of a buy low. I never really thought that was the case, as I'd tried to justify more than one occasion that I thought he was doing fine. But this, I guess, just solidifies what he can do. I really have nothing more to say about Dyson. He's just been so good. I'm so happy. And I'm not going to cry happy tears, of course. Trae Young returned 29.7 assists in his 31 minutes. He looked just fine. Larry Nance, 21 minutes. That's probably enough. 6 and 4 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. I think he is a rosterable player until Okongwu gets back. Rhys Ishay, we know he is not. Jalen Johnson, I don't need to talk about him as well. He's just very good at basketball. Garrison Matthews, out of nowhere, 25 points, 7 threes, 7 of 8 shooting as well. He's not going to do this. I think he'd scored like 20 points in his last 6 games or something. So huge outlier here. We don't need to be running to grab Garrison Matthews. Clippers at Memphis. Memphis had this one. It looked like they were going to win. Clippers come home strong to get the victory. Norm Powell continues on his merry way. 29 points, 2 steals, 4 threes. Zubats was questionable, but he played and played very well. 20 and 19 with 4 steals and a block. So this is really good. He had tapered a little bit over the last month, so good to see him putting up big numbers again. Chris Dunn had 3 steals. That's what you need from him. And then we didn't get much of Mo Bamba or anything like that because Zubats played. Kevin Porter is the only guy on the bench I'd consider there if you need some points and assists, but it's very, very sketchy. Memphis, there was no Marcus Smart. Desmond Bain played. We talked about if he was going to be out, who would start. It didn't matter. Bain had 21 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, so rounding into form very nicely. Zach Edey, quiet night offensively, 1 of 8. He's an interesting one because obviously he's massive and plays very close to the basket, but he does do a lot of little hook shots and not mid-range, but also not around the basket shots. I don't know what that range would be called, but 1 of 8 hurts your field goal percentage, but he did have 14 rebounds, a steal and 3 blocks, and played 27 minutes. So I think he is someone we're rostering quite clearly. Brandon Clark can be dropped. Scottie Pippen, with Bain and Morant healthy, there's not enough there for him. And Aldama had 11, 7, and 3 with 2 steals and 2 blocks and continues to be streamable. Or maybe he's just an ad at this point. How long do we call someone a stream? 2 months? I don't know. Washington at OKC. Fairly easy win for the Thunder here, unsurprisingly. Jordan Poole led the way for Washington with 31 points, continues his... Are we calling this a breakout? I don't know. We might. I'm going to call it a breakout. He had 7 assists. He had 2 steals as well. Alex Sarr was ultimately ruled out with his back injury, and hopefully everyone, as I indicated, I said go and grab Jonas Valanciunas. He had 12 and 16 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. This was always going to happen with Sarr on the sideline. Justin Champagne, we can move on. 3 blocks is nice, but there was no Koulibaly here. Marvin Bagley got injured. No Sarr. Yeah, so I'm not really interested in Champagne anymore. Malcolm Brogdon, we're holding. There's another injury coming. We're not too far away, but he is okay at the moment. Bob Carrington started. I still don't think he needs to be added. 29 minutes, he had 14 points, but prior to this, he'd just been struggling. And Marvin Bagley suffered a knee injury. So Isaiah Hartenstein fell on his leg, basically, or was pushed onto his leg. Pushed, nudged, I don't know what the right word is, but it was certainly not of his own doing. And Bagley's left leg, right leg, I think. I don't know. It crumpled anyway. It didn't look good. It wasn't a non-contact injury, so that's potentially a good thing. This may be more of an MCL sprain, but it did look quite significant. Could, of course, be an ACL. Not all ACL injuries are non-contact. So keep an eye on that. It's not a huge one in terms of fantasy value, but if Alex Sarr was going to miss any time here, Bagley would have been playing meaningful minutes at least, but not no need to make any drastic fantasy moves. For the Thunder, they didn't have to exert themselves too much here. Jalen Williams, decent from him, only 7 of 18 from the field, not his best. Lou Dort with a very good Lou Dort, 0 points. Hartenstein was good. Shea dominated, unsurprisingly. Caruso, only 15 minutes. I feel like he plays more when the games are close. So blowouts like this, while they typically help bench players, I don't think that's the case for Caruso. So if you are holding him for steals and blocks, I would continue to do so. Cason Wallace, similar story for him, but I'd rather Caruso over Wallace, I think. And as for Dort, if you want to hold him, We know his upside is pretty limited, and these performances are not uncommon when it comes to Lou Dort. All right, the Bucks and the Bulls. How many games have we got left? Five. That's pretty good. Bucks get the win comfortably, 112-91, despite not having Giannis, despite not having Damian Lillard. So we got a lot of Chris Middleton. We got a lot of Bobby Portis. Both should be rostered. Portis, once they're healthy again, he sort of drops back into that top 100 range, which is expendable in some leagues. Lopez talked about him being a sit or a bench candidate today. Was it the right decision? You could argue, yes, he had 21 points, but he also had 2 rebounds and 0 blocks. So if you started him for blocks, you got absolutely nothing, and the points are more of a bonus. Ryan Roland started. He had 8-5-1 with 2 steals and a block. I've talked about him. I really like him. I like what he can do, but the minutes just aren't there when they are healthy. And Dame was actually upgraded is not the right term, but his designation was changed from whatever his injury was. Was it a calf? I don't know. Anyway, he was upgraded, changed to illness. So that would indicate that he is through his injury and that this was simply an illness and he could be back for the next game. For the Bulls, no Josh Giddey continues to be out with his ankle injury. So Dosunmu had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals. It gets it done. 5 points is less than ideal, but everything else is good enough for him to be rostered. Kobe White continues his struggles, 10 points. He is still a bit of a buy low. Vooch, a good line. The shooting has cooled off, which we knew was going to come, but 17 and 12 with a steal. I think at one point he was 7 of 9 from the field early in the game, so he missed his last 7 shots. Patrick Williams, 13 and 4. This is about as good as it gets for Williams. We don't need to roster him at all, and I'm not interested in any of those bench guys. If Jalen Smith ever plays 25 minutes, we are, but at this point we are not. Portland at Dallas. Dallas fairly comfortable in this one, 132-108. Timani Kamara, 12 rebounds is good. He is trending towards being a drop, I think. His upside's just not high enough that you have to hold. So I'm okay with moving on. I'm going to hold him in a few deeper leagues, but standard leagues, it's very, very borderline. Not really a lot to take out of this one. It was a blowout, so the starters were all limited to mid-20s in minutes. DeAndre Ayton had 16 and 9. Excuse me. It was fine. I mean, when he's playing and he's starting, he's someone we need to roster. Robert Williams was ruled out. We only got 15 minutes of Donovan Klingon. 4 and 3, no blocks. This is the risk with him and Robert Williams, both of whom I think are very, very borderline. I don't think you need to be holding them. 2 months' time, might have a different discussion, but for now, don't worry. I think Avdi is okay to have on a 12-team roster. He had 19, 6 and 3. 5 of 8 from the line is pretty ordinary, but he's doing enough in limited minutes, I think, to be held for now. And Scoot Henderson had 14. 6 and 4, a little bit like Klingon. I think he's very borderline at the moment, but in 2 months' time, he might be someone we're rostering in most leagues. For Dallas, Luka returned. They didn't have to push him or Kyrie or any of these guys too hard, so I wouldn't look at this box score and make any big moves, especially when it comes to Derek Lively and Dan Gafford. Lively had 4 points, 4 rebounds, and a steal in 16 minutes. Gafford had 23 and 5 with a block in 21 minutes. This does not mean we're adding Daniel Gafford. It does not mean Derek Lively is going to play 20 minutes moving forward. This was just a matchup thing. They're way ahead. I would base any opinion I had on what we've seen the last 2 weeks as opposed to this one game in a 30-point win over Portland. So no big moves here. Klay Thompson still looked pretty good, 13, two steals, three threes. So we are rostering him. And always good when you can put up some numbers in very limited minutes, because it means any rest, I think, is good when it comes to Klay Thompson. All right, Indiana at Golden State. Good win for the Pacers here, 111 to 105. We talked about Mathurin in the pregame show being possibly a drop. I stand by that. He had 12 points, not much else, 5 of 14 from the field. And I think he hit sort of two or three of those shots very early. So I'm okay with moving on from him. Halliburton, again, he's not shooting the ball a lot, but he had 16 and 12, six rebounds, two steals, two threes. So I think we have to be pretty happy with what he's doing. Same goes for Turner. Same goes for Siakam. Nembhard is... he's pretty close, I think, to someone we add, just because he's playing 30-plus minutes. He had 15, 4, and 3 in this one. It's okay. It's okay. He's not very exciting. TJ had 13 and 5 in his 20 minutes. More of a streamer. I don't think there's enough there to be rostering him permanently, and the same goes for Obi Toppin. He's just not playing enough. For the Warriors, they continue to go with Dennis Schroeder as a starter. The minutes are good. He played 30, but 9 points and three assists is not something we need to be holding on to. I think we can move on from him. I would actually prefer them to move him to the bench and bring Buddy Hield or someone in as a starter. It just seems, if you watch the Warriors, I know they kept this one pretty close. It just looks like no one is really sure what they're meant to be doing. Steph is your point guard, or is he? Dennis Schroeder can play off the ball, but he's better on the ball. Draymond Green also likes to handle the ball. It's just a lot of guys trying to do the same thing here. It's pretty confusing. On a positive, I thought Trayce Jackson-Davis looked very good in his 23 minutes, 13 and 8 with a block. I'd love to see him getting 28 minutes. I just don't think it's going to happen. Would I add him? I might. I might go and add him just to see if they at least stick with him as a starter and he can creep up to 25 minutes a night. Wiggins was pretty good in this one. Draymond, if you don't need scoring, we roster him. Kuminga had 26 points off the bench. Sell high if you've got Kuminga, because I don't think he will repeat this performance again anytime soon, especially with Pajemski, Buddy Hield, Moses Moody, Kevon Looney, Kyle Anderson will come back in, Gary Payton will come back in, and all of those guys are capable of playing 20 minutes a night. And is it the last one? Second last one. We're close. Phoenix at Denver. Very good win for Denver, actually, coming off a back-to-back. They looked lethargic the night before. They look pretty good in this one. We'll start with Phoenix, though. No Devin Booker, so Royce O'Neal started. I think he's still someone we can stream in, despite the fact he only had 6 and 4. The minutes are there at the moment. Beal had 23 with not much else. Kevin Durant had 23 with lots of other stuff. That's what they both do. Yusuf Nurkic, he sucked. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. 3 shots. He hit a three. His only field goal was a three. What the hell, man? Like, you're 9 foot tall and massive playing against your former team and you have 4 points. Personal fouls were an issue, but yeah, it's still very disappointing. And I'm not interested in any of their bench players. For Denver, Michael Porter Jr., he turned things around. We talked about him on the show this morning. Who were we... I can't think who we were talking about. We were comparing him to someone, and I said probably go with Porter, and I'm glad I did. He had 24, 6, and 4. Jokic, 32. Counting stats were way down in this one. 2 rebounds, 7 assists, but the points are very good. Jamal Murray was a late scratch. So Russell Westbrook started. He had 11, 5, and 7 with 2 steals. We are holding him. If you don't care about percentages... didn't really get much from the bench here. I would have thought without Jamal Murray, we might have got a bit more Julian Strowther. He had 9 points in 18 minutes. yeah, we're not really looking at any of these bench guys. Christian Brown had 4, 7, and 4 in his 26 minutes. He has come back to earth after a hot start to the season. I think he's still a hold, but he's not a top 50 player like he was early in the season. And the last game, Detroit at LA. Detroit get the win 117 to 114. LeBron had a wide open three to tie this one, but clanged it and hit the top of the backboard. Detroit get the rebound and get the win. Who are we going to start with? Let's start with, Cade was very good. I thought Ivy looked pretty good. So both, Cade's obviously a hold, but Ivy remains a hold. Malik Beasley is a pretty clear hold at the moment. He had 21 points off the bench. Let's talk about Jalen Duren. 6 and 10 with a steal and a block. Look, the numbers aren't great, but I actually thought he played pretty well. Considering he was against Anthony Davis, I thought he held his own. So this was encouraging. And he is in a situation at the moment where he is, or does have a clearer path to minutes because Isaiah Stewart's out. So I think we're holding him and just seeing if he can build on what he's been doing. Tim Hardaway, I'm not interested in him. He had 15 points. No, thank you. Tobias Harris had 6 and 4. The two steals and the two blocks are handy, but he looks a little bit washed. I do think he's still a hold, but it's pretty close. Asar Thompson is not a hold, and Fontecchio is not. He had 13 points, but he didn't miss a shot. That is not going to happen again very often. For the Lakers, LeBron had a triple-double. The fact that LeBron is having to get a triple-double for this team tells you a lot about their depth at the moment. Enough taking nothing away from LeBron, but guy who's 84 years old should not be having to put up triple-doubles to win you basketball games. Anthony Davis, 19, 10, and 6 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Free throws have been a bit of an issue lately, which we thought we were through this last year, but apparently not. Austin Reeves, a little bit quiet here, but we still roster him. Max Christie is... he's showing what I think he has. They're playing in big minutes, 33 minutes here, 17 points, 2 steals. He's a good 3-and-D guy. He's sort of what Cam Reddish wants to be, but better. So would I add him in standard leagues? I don't think so. Deeper leagues, I would. Rui Hachimura, I would not. D'Angelo Russell had been playing better. He was not better in this one, 5 points, 5 assists. A very soft hold, but this shows you that they're not afraid to move away from him or just have him on the bench when he's not playing well, and that's not a good sign for fantasy value. So, and Dalton Connect, 7 points, just if we need a Dalton Connect update. And that's all the games. Jeez, that was a lot. Got about 4 million questions in here. I'll do my best. Let's start at the top. Hopefully a lot of them aren't questions and they're just statements. Okay, so we've got Amen Redemption, yes. Dyson Redemption, if you want to call it a redemption. JJ is performing superbly this year with Kat. He is. Oh, good. Steve's got a beer. Yeah, I wish I had one. I've got to go and pick up my daughter, so I can't. Here we go. When D'Lo gets dropped eventually, you think he's worth a pickup? Yeah, look, I think he is. If he gets dropped and you've got an empty roster spot and you want to hopefully catch him on a hot week, he's probably worth it. We know he has the upside that a lot of waiver guys don't. So, he's worth grabbing for one or two. What else have we got? Steve didn't see the Drew Smith thing helps Rozier. It probably does. Yeah. If you want to go and watch the Drew Smith thing, as I said, it's easy to find. You don't need to watch it, but it's pretty obvious what he did. I added Goga, dropped Oubre, probably will drop Simmons and keep Middleton. Yeah, I think that's fine. Goga was interesting tonight. He only played 20, 2 minutes or something. He injured his ankle, so I think that hurt him a bit. He also then got ejected, and if you find the video on Twitter, he got into an altercation with Kristaps Porzingis, and both teams went back to their benches, and the ejection sign or whatever was made, and Goga assumed that Porzingis had been ejected, so he gave him the send-off kind of wave thing, and then was told that he was actually the one who was ejected, and he took it very well. He just sort of looked a bit bemused and then wandered off the court, so that's why his minutes were down here. I'm not worrying about it. Does Goga have Mark Williams type upside? I don't know. I think once Paolo is back and once Franz is back, that impacts what he can do a lot. So I don't think he has the upside of Mark Williams long term, but for the next month, maybe. Any word on Quickly? He practiced apparently, and he's doing 5-on-5 stuff. So I would say that he is close. Before the end of the year, maybe. If not, very soon after. Update on Steve's benching. Rosie was out, started MPJ over Brolo, benched Hart instead. Yeah, look, benching Brolo was fine. He did have 21 points, but he had nothing else. So MPJ at least did some other stuff. Thoughts on Middleton after these last two games? Well, is he back? I don't think he's back. Top 70 value. That'd be best case, I think, for Middleton. He was obviously good today, but we are missing, 60 points? And a lot of rebounds and assists and things. So top 70, it's probably best case for Middleton. I think he's probably more top 80. Did you miss the news about Tatum? He was just sick. That's fine. Yeah, it was a bad Dyson game. Couldn't even get a double-double with steals. Do you know who the last player to do that was? I can tell you who it was. A lot of Dyson chatter. I like that. Yeah. Zubats, he was looking like he was going to be out. And then you benched him. Yeah. It's tough when it's one of these late teams, when it's a West Coast team, you often have to make the call early. And the safer call is obviously to bench whoever is questionable and start someone that's playing early. And then if you get the word that that player is available, you're stuck, really. Is it worth trading away Ayton? Yeah, if you can. If you could move him for any top 50 player, I would. Bigger disappointment, Gobert or Durant? Durant is the bigger disappointment for me, I think. My expectations of those two were similar-ish. I had them in the same range. I had Gobert a little bit higher, probably top 45, maybe top 50, and Duren was top 50, top 60. So I think it's Duren. In saying that, the leagues that I have these guys in, I don't need points, I don't need threes, I don't need assists. So Gobert has just been a little bit more consistent in rebounds and blocks. But yes, Gobert's ceiling is higher, so that if you take that into consideration. Yeah, Brook Lopez is a punt rebound guy. It's hard to fathom how he only gets one or two rebounds. Is Schroeder dropping in usage? I think he is, based on what we've seen. If he went back to the bench, then I'd like that more, but I don't see that happening at this point. What's up with the Lakers? I don't know what's up with the Lakers. Could we sell Goga for a top 60, 70? You could try. I think he will be a top 60 or 70 player. What is he? Let me just have a look. It's interesting for me, because with pretty much every one of my teams that I have Goga in, I'm punting a lot of categories. So his value is a lot higher than his just his overall value. Where is he? Goga. So for the season, he's top 70. The last month, he's top 40. Last 2 months, top 60. And if we look at his numbers, like across the last month, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, and that's top 40. That's sustainable, I think. He is also averaging a steal, which helps. But, yeah, look, I think probably, I don't know, the comeback of Paolo and Franz is going to hurt him, but if you wanted to sell him, I think I'd be asking for more than a top 60 or 70 player. Draymond a drop in 10-team 9-cat. If you need points, maybe. His value just comes from those other categories. Tobias looks bad. Can swing a trade to get Miles Bridges. I think I'd take Miles Bridges there, so I think that would be a good trade. Would I trade Herb at the risk of the Pels shutting it down? Oh, you could. I mean, I'm never going to say no to trading someone. I would wait for Herb to put a couple of strong offensive games together, and then you could look at moving him. Lively, Claxton, and Shaedon Sharpe on waiver wire. Worth it to drop Harris or Draymond for them? Well, Lively and Claxton are both very... Well, actually, all three are very specific. So I would look at what you need here. Lively and Claxton are rebounds and blocks. That's about it. Shaedon Sharpe is points and threes. So that would determine... Draymond obviously doesn't get you any points. So if you need points, you could drop Draymond and pick up Shaedon Sharpe, absolutely. Tobias Harris isn't really doing anything, but can do a little bit more across the board. So have a look at what stats you need there. Okay, here's a trade question. I have four centers, Giannis, Hartenstein, Zubats, and Jarrett Allen. I have best rebound, but middle of the pack for overall standing. Should I accept trade for take Jabari Smith for Jarrett Allen? Well, they're pretty similar. I guess Jabari Smith can at least spread the floor and probably gets a few more points. I think that's a fair enough trade. Allen's been pretty underwhelming. I think that's okay. I'd probably still keep Allen. Jabari Smith, once Tari Eason's comes back, this could be considered a sell high opportunity for Jabari Smith, so you might be buying into that a little bit. Was it Clyde Drexler for the steals double double? It was not. Keep those. Oh yeah, okay, we've got no more guesses. I'll tell you who it is. I'll just get through. Yes, Jabari Smith is an underpay for Allen, as I said. Draymond with 10 steals, it is not. A turnover is a category you can control. They are, but the way to control it is by drafting players that don't touch the ball, don't have a high usage. A lot of centers, well, some centers, wing guys, 3-and-D guys. It's your elite point guards, and that is one of the flaws with turnovers is your elite guys that can be elite in 4 or 5 categories, points, threes, assists, steals, are often also unelite in turnovers. It's one of the debates we have around fantasy pretty consistently. Steve's on his second beer. Very good. That's all the questions. The steals, double-double. The last player to do it was TJ McConnell, because I remember that game. I had him in my lineup, and it was in April 2021, and I only know the date because I looked it up, because there was a tweet that came out today from someone that said Dyson's 8 steals were the most in a game since Paul George got 8 steals in October of 2021, and I couldn't remember when TJ had his 10 steals game, so I had to go and look it up, and it was actually at the end of the previous season. And, yeah, it was was it a, I don't think it was a, no, it wasn't a triple double, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to have a look now. 10. No, it was a triple double. He did get a triple. Okay, it was. So he had 9 in the first half in that game. He had a points, assists, and steals triple double. Third of March 2021. So there you go. There's a bit of trivia for you. Did he play 20 minutes? Can I get a box score or something for that? Hang on, this might. So he played. Is that the game? Oh, hang on. Where can I scroll across? Oh, yeah. Here we go. So he played 36 minutes in that game, and he had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 13 assists, 1 block, 8 of 8 from the floor, and it doesn't even. Why doesn't it show the steals on there? And he had 10 steals as well. So yes, it was a pretty phenomenal game. 20 minutes. No, that was, and that's why we want to see TJ playing 30 minutes, because we know what he can do. That's it. I'm going to go and have some dinner. I'm going to let all of you go to bed or do whatever it is based on wherever you are. So no pre-game show tomorrow because there are no games. No post-game show tomorrow because there are no games. It is also Christmas Day here, so there might be stretching the friendship if I try to record a show. However, I may be able to sneak in, so the games here in Australia start at 4 a.m. on Boxing Day, the Christmas Day games. So I'm not getting up at that time to do a pre-game show, but I might be able to squeeze one in late tomorrow night. So 8 o'clock my time, which would be 8 hours before the games tip off. So it is a little bit early, but maybe better than nothing. So, so there may or may not be a pre-game show before the Christmas Day games. There should be a post-game show, but it might come a bit later, depending on what we're doing on Boxing Day for dinner and with friends and things like that. So, yeah, hopefully they'll be there. Matty G will probably be jumping on with me this week to do one of the pre-game shows, I would say. And then I don't think there's too much of a halt in content, really. Not going anywhere. So the shows should continue as per normal. But as always, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to today's show. It was a long one, so thanks for sticking around. I will be back very shortly. Have a good Christmas to everyone in Australia. And for those in the US, I'll probably be doing a show before Christmas starts or on Christmas Day. So yes, be safe, drive safely, eat safely, drink safely. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep Post Game Show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.